Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the grill room is definitely on our tab. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Welcome to the grill room, the most comprehensive look inside the world of global golf. The 2015 calendar year of golf is officially over. The European Tour, the LPGA Tour, and the PGA Tour all wrapped up their 2015 year on Sunday. So without further ado, let's bring in my partner, Alex Maselli. Seems strange, probably, Alex, to even hear the words that all three tours are wrapped up.
Well, I mean, it seems like such a long season, but yet at the same time, it didn't. And, you know, the PGA Tour is done for the year, but, I mean, their year was really done two months ago. I was thinking about this actually, Bobby. It was like, okay, so this is all done. So what are we going to do the next month or so talking about golf? But there's still going to be golf going on. It's just not going to be PGA Tour or European Tour or, well, PGA Tour and LPGA Tour. The European Tour actually starts right back up in like a week.
Yeah, but there's really so much to talk about, I think, over the next couple of weeks. And why don't we take this opportunity right now to wish every one of our loyal listeners of the Grill Room, and we certainly appreciate you being part of the family, to have a very, very happy Thanksgiving. Spend it with people you love and tell them you're thankful for them being in your lives. And get ready, if you're a golfer, next year to have the best golf year of your entire career. So on behalf of the Grill Room family, Janice Self, our executive producer who works so hard, Alex Maselli, who travels the globe to bring you first-hand knowledge, and myself, Bob Bubka, a very happy Thanksgiving. Alex, before we get into the meat of the show, there are a couple of things that have come across my desk that I just want to get your opinion on. There seems to be word coming out of the European Tour, the possibility of the European Tour merging with the Asian Tour. Have you heard any of that?
Well, there was a release, months ago about that occurring. Basically, I don't know if it was a merge as much as the European Tour somehow bringing the Asian Tour in. But it was very nebulous in regards to the press release. It was just the fact that this is something that's being discussed or something that could possibly happen. But now with Keith Pelley coming in, if you watched out of Dubai this week, there were a lot of announcements made, and he's really moving things along very quickly. In fact, things like changing the eligibility requirements down to 5 events, things like changing the Race to Dubai final series where there'll only be 3 events versus 4, adding Ned Bank into the equation, which we reported weeks ago, actually. I know that I reported when I was in Turkey. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on, and it'll be interesting to see where things go. But yes, that is certainly one of the things that they're seriously looking at, and certainly makes sense for many different reasons. I mean, the Asian Tour, the Australasian Tour have all had co-sanctioned events with the European Tour. So to extend the relationship even further certainly makes sense.
Sticking with Mr. Pelley for just a moment, certain American journalist, and I'll be kind and not mention their name, seems to be taking shots at the executive director of the European Tour for voicing his disappointment over the fact that Paul Casey has opted out of trying to qualify for next year's Ryder Cup.
Well, I mean, when I talked to Paul about this in China, it was clear to me that the European Tour was changing to 5 to an exemption scenario of just 5. Now, Paul Casey at the time is way above the top 50 in the world, so most players will talk about how difficult it was to keep both cards on both tours, meaning the PGA Tour and the European Tour, because you had to play 13 or 12 events on the European Tour, but you took the eight out, then you could easily get to the actually 13, not 12, but 13, which basically meant that you had to play five events on the European Tour. But if you weren't in the top 50, that means you didn't automatically get into the majors. You didn't automatically get into the World Golf Championships, and it became harder or more of a struggle. In Paul Casey's case, his issue was not either one of those. His issue was the fact that he just wants to spend more time with his new family, which he's been only married for a couple of years and has children now. He wanted to spend more time with his family than be forced to have to play a World Golf Championship if he didn't want to, or actually even a major if he didn't want to, even though it sounds weird that he would actually skip one of those. He did not want to be forced to play anything to be able to keep a card. He wanted to be able to do what he wanted to do. So even though they were changing to likely five, when I talked to him in China about it, his concern still was the fact that it might make a difference in how he would handle his family obligations. There is also another aspect to this, Bobby, where Paul Casey was, as he feels, snubbed in the past, not getting on the Ryder Cup team. And Justin Rose actually brought this up, another Englishman, and felt that that might be some reason why he just felt like he didn't want to be involved in the whole Ryder Cup process. And so he could eliminate that by, in fact, saying he wasn't going to take a European Tour card, which is what he decided to do. I don't have any problem with it. I think, though, what we're understanding or what we're realizing is there's so much involved with what players are trying to do with FedEx Cup, European Tour, Race to Dubai, keeping your card on both tours, trying to win majors, trying to win World Golf Championship events, all that's involved. And the amount of money that is now involved in professional golf at the highest levels, that you don't need to participate in a Ryder Cup. And that is a big concern for a Keith Pelley, whose organization makes a lot of money to use towards the running and the operations of that tour because of the Ryder Cup.
Alex, let me ask you your opinion on this. And I just thought of it listening to your explanation. And by the way, I concur with what you say about Paul Casey certainly, weighing in on the side of spending more time with his family is understandable, and I congratulate him on taking that bold move. Darren Clark, meanwhile, was very cool to the news, but did rebound by saying that he only has time to focus on the players that are going to make the team, not the players that decide not to be on the team. But my question was, do you think in any way, shape, or form, the recent success of the European side in the Ryder Cup is making European players less hungry to participate?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Casey's case is a specific situation. In talking to a Poulter or a Graham McDowell or some of the other players that certainly seem to have a lock on a spot or have had a lock on the spot every 2 years, they're just as concerned, just as interested, just as hungry to participate in a Ryder Cup as they were before. And they have an understanding that the Ryder Cup is, not only does it support the European Tour, but it's really about them supporting their tour. And, you can get into a situation, I think, which is fair, and I'm not criticizing Paul Casey, but a lot of the Europeans that live in the U.S., if it's Poulter, if it's Luke Donald, if it's Graham McDowell, if it's Paul Casey, their interest, it can't be the same. Their hunger, their desires, their interest levels can't be exactly the same as they were when they were on the European Tour full-time and they were living in Europe. I think there's certainly a difference there. And I think in Paul Casey's case, he's always been kind of his own guy. And so this doesn't surprise you in any way, shape, or form. I think what's disappointing is if you're Darren Clark, you're starting to hear, if you're listening, you're starting to hear small rumbles from people that say that because of the way the situation is working, the older guys, the Ian Poulters, the Graham McDowells, the Lee Westwoods, aren't playing as well now and maybe aren't going to get on this team. This team's going to be a younger team. It's going to be a less experienced team. You're starting to hear a lot of players say, well, you know, maybe this is going to be the time when the Europeans are just not going to be able to stand up to the Americans, and this is going to be a loss. And if you're Darren Clark, when you know you only got one shot, the last thing you want to do is hear that, and then on top of that, one of the guys that's probably the highest-ranked player in the world at the time has decided not to participate. That's not a positive for you.
One last thing before we conclude our discussion and get into the meat of the show, Alex. I think it's imperative we make it perfectly clear to our listeners, and I'm sure a huge portion are fully aware of it, but you referred to the European Tour and the European Ryder Cup. You know, the European Tour is directly responsible for the European Ryder Cup, but the PGA Tour has nothing to do with the Ryder Cup here in the United States.
They have nothing to do with it, but they get 20% of the TV money back to the PGA Tour.
Well, they have something to do with it.
it's a considerable amount of cash that goes back to the PGA Tour every 2 years from the Ryder Cup television deal, and it's certainly. It's certainly worthwhile, considering the fact that if not for the players on the PGA Tour, there probably wouldn't be a Ryder Cup.
Good point. Well taken.
Bobby, you know, the Grill Room is proud to be doing our part to entertain the active men and women in our military as well as our veterans as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And for those in the military this week, unable to celebrate Thanksgiving, no matter where you are in this country, no matter which one of the 77 ships at sea, we indeed wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. Before we go any further, Grill Room would like to take a moment to wish everyone, or I just did this, a happy Thanksgiving, and especially our men in the armed forces.
Let's not forget the women too, Bobby. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and GolfBlot.com, heard on TuneIn Radio and the internationally, I should say, on the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll check out who won when we go around the world of golf. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game.
Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats.
From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Rory McIlroy agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
All right, Alex, time now for Around the World of Golf, brought to you by GolfWeek.com, the best place to get your golf news. All right, let's start with the European Tour because we got the jet all fueled up. We got to fly off to Dubai where they played the DP World Championship and the conclusion of the year-long race to Dubai. No surprises there. Rory rules once again.
Well, I mean, to me, Bob, it is a bit of a surprise because Rory came into the fall series in the race to Dubai hoping he could win an event, hoping he would play well. And there were fits and starts, but he never really got it all put all together. But he certainly put it all together on the weekend in Dubai. And Andy Sullivan happens to be the guy on the outside looking in, finishing second by a shot to Rory. But it was a huge win for Rory. Not only does he win the race to Dubai again, ends up third in the rankings, but third by such a small number that any one of the guys, meaning Jason Day or Jordan Spieth could be overtaken by Rory with a good event coming up sometime in the near future. So I think that all in all just gives you that, creates that scenario, that hunger that we're going to have going into January, watching these three guys play and see as they continue to do musical chairs with the world rankings.
Let's listen to what Rory had to say, and then I have a comment about something I said on my show last night on Talk Sport, the world's largest sports radio station. But right now, Rory McIlroy.
It means an awful lot. I had to play so well over the weekend. I mean, Andy is a tough competitor, a great player. And to battle the way I had to out there today, I think it just is testament to how good he is and how much he's improved. I said it at the start of the year when I played with him in Dubai, he's a complete player, and I know one of his big goals next year is to make the Ryder Cup team, and you know, he'd be a great asset for Europe to have in the team.
Alex, last night I was asked about the major situation and Rory McIlroy being number three, and I made a statement. It came off the top of my head, but the more I ponder it, I think I still feel that way, but I feel that Rory McIlroy will win more majors than Jordan Spieth and Jason Day combined.
I think that's certainly likely. I think what you have with Rory is you have a history. He's explosive. He's clearly shown the ability to win multiple majors at one time. I think his game sets up better all in all. I don't think that he'll be as consistent as a Jordan Spieth, but I think he'll have the ability to win bigger events and win more of them than the other two. I agree with that.
And looking over the majors, it came across this nugget which I thought was fascinating. That there's been 3 years recently. Back to 2003 was the first year, and I think maybe 2014 the last year, where all four major winners were previous major winners. And there's only 1 year since 2000, and that was in 2003, when nobody was a former winner of the all four of those majors in 2003. It seems like that major club, is pretty exclusive, hard to get into. 30 players account for the last 60 major wins. So, as you alluded to, Rory McIlroy, has what it takes to get the job done in a major, and we'll see if he prevails, especially in April when he goes for that Grand Slam, winning the Masters, the only major Rory McIlroy has yet to win.
Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you'll come a waltzing Matilda.
Now let's fly down under, the Australian Masters. Unbelievable, Alex. 56-year-old Peter Senior wins the Australian Masters for the third time. But I can't believe, when I look at the career of Peter Senior, he won the Australian PGA when he was 51. He won the Australian Open when he was 53. Now he wins the PGA Australian Masters at 56. I mean, that's a trifecta. It's going to be hard to beat in any sport.
Well, when I first saw this, Bob, the first thing that came to my mind is Tiger Woods. Maybe he still does have a chance. He keeps talking about the fact that guys had won in their 40s and later. So maybe Peter Senior is who Tiger is looking towards in hopes of being able to do what he did when Tiger gets older, because clearly right now that's not working for him.
With all that has transpired in this year of golf, that victory by Peter Senior certainly has got to rank up near the top of unbelievable things.
Well, especially with the field. It wasn't a bad field. I mean, as we'll talk, there's, Adam Scott was there. Bryson DeChambeau, who, was very surprising, finishing tied for second with another Aussie, Andrew Evans. John Sendon, and of course, there were a lot of other very, very good Australians in the field. So you look at that and you're like, how's that happen? But it just shows you how good Peter Senior could be, and it just took two rounds. I mean, the first two rounds were just okay. It was the last two rounds that made the difference, and you know, when you got it, you got it, and Peter Senior at 56 still has it.
I can't think off the top of my head, and help me here, Alex.
Sam Snead.
That Peter Senior has, you know, he's had a very successful career on the Champions Tour, but I don't think he's ever won.
Right. Well, but, I mean, that's a different tour. I mean, everything is different. I look at somebody like Sam Snead, Bob, which I bring up. You know, he just had the ability to play well at times and win no matter how old he was. And that's Peter Senior in a nutshell. That's exactly who it is. And, you know, certainly feels more comfortable in Australia. He's not done as well outside of the island down south as he's done down under, I should say, as he's done in the U.S. or anywhere else. And, you know, obviously it's something about playing at home that makes a difference for him.
Well, a grill room salute to Peter Senior. And by the way, a quick hello to our Aussie fan club headed up by Anthony Lewis. Keep up the good work, Anthony. Florida is next, the LPGA. And as the week started, all eyes were on Lydia Ko and Imbi Park as they tried to battle it out for some of the biggest prizes in golf, the CME Group Tour Championship, the season-long race to the CME Globe, the VAR Trophy, the Rolex Player of the Year, and so much more. And believe it or not, all three titles came down to the 72nd hole. That was some compelling drama.
It was. And, you know, it's hard to believe that we were talking Lydia Ko not too long ago if she should or shouldn't be able to play on the LPGA Tour. I think that those questions have clearly been answered. After she wins the Rolex Player of the Year, she takes home the $1 million bonus for the season-long race for the CME Globe for the second year in a row. And then on top of that, then you got Imbi Park, who's not much older than her, who goes ahead and wins not only wins the VAR trophy, but also now has qualified, statistically qualified, to be in the Hall of Fame, even though she's not old enough yet. I mean, a lot of very, very good players on the LPGA Tour, but Lydia Ko is clearly moving herself beyond everybody else at a very young age, and it'll be interesting to see how long this goes for because, you know, you assume it's going to go for a long time, but at the same time, you know how golf can be. It's a very fickle sport. All of a sudden, you go from being the best in the game to maybe struggling at times, but Lydia Ko doesn't seem like she's going to be struggling anytime soon.
And Alex, she becomes the fourth player in LPGA history to win the Rookie of the Year and then the following year win Player of the Year. She joins the likes of Nancy Lopez, Beth Daniel, and Annika Sorenstam. And all three of those, by the way, are in the Hall of Fame. Let's give a listen to what Lydia Ko had to say.
My mind kind of went completely blank, but at the same time, trying to calculate things that I don't know how to calculate. But no, you know, just I think early in the week I said, you know, if I could choose one of the awards, you know, I would love to be the Player of the Year. And, you know, to know that I am the Player of the Year, it's an awesome feeling. And, you know, just having my team there, my coaches, my trainer, my family, it's a very special moment. And, you know, I'm so happy that my team was here with me because it wasn't only me that was working hard. It was the whole team. You know, everybody was working so hard to get better and, you know, have that more of a consistent season. And, you know, for them to be here with me, just a lot of emotions. And, yeah, you know, it's probably the most I'll cry on TV ever.
All right, Lydia Ko wins a lot, but Christy Kerr won the CME Group Tour Championship. It was her 18th career LPGA win. Do I surprise you when I tell you that Christy Kerr is fourth all-time on earnings on the LPGA Tour?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was surprised when I looked to see that she had won 18 times. And yet, you say that she's, you know, fourth in earnings all-time. And this year, she only made just short of $1.3 million. And she's seventh on their money list. So it just shows you how different the money is on the LPGA Tour versus the PGA Tour.
Well, there is a big difference, almost as big a difference as it is in the salary of Alex Maselli and yours truly. Let's take a quick break. Then we'll go over what happened on the PGA Tour at the RSM Classic. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and GolfBlot.com. And we're proud to be heard on TuneIn Radio and internationally on the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The 2015 Masters champion, the U.S. Open champion, and the FedEx Cup champion, Jordan Spieth, agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's K-O-O-L-B-R-E-L-L-A.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
All right, Alex, the RSM Classic. Davis Love, the host, and Kevin Kisner, no surprise, after being in three playoffs last season and not winning one of them, finishing second one other time. Now he has a victory. So in the last 20 events, Kevin Kisner has five first or second place finishes. I mean, that's amazing stuff.
Yeah, and where did he come from? It's just another one of those situations where nobody knows where these guys are coming from. They're coming out of the woodwork. And this is the type of scenario that if you're Jim Furyk, if you're Bubba Watson, if you're Davis Love III, if you're Tiger Woods, whoever you are, these are the guys you're having to compete against now. You have no idea who they are.
Well, it's pretty amazing. Janice and I had a wonderful opportunity at St. Andrews. We went out to dinner with Dwayne Bach, the caddy for Kevin Kisner, who, by the way, Dwayne Bach played for my brother in high school. He was on the basketball team. My brother was the coach. And Dwayne Bach told us at St. Andrews, just keep your eye on Kevin. He's getting closer and closer to finally getting that victory, and he does get it. It seems like if you're a Georgia Bulldog, you got a pretty good chance of winning on the tour. He's the 11th former Georgia Bulldog to accomplish that goal.
Well, Bobby, I mean, let's just take a look at this for a second, because you look at Kevin Kisner. He started the year as 236th in the world. He's now 17th. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There aren't too many people that make moves like that. I mean, that is a tremendous move. And you kind of outlined some of the stuff he did this year. But, I mean, that's just unbelievable. And it's not going to stop. He's not one of those guys that's going to be that's going to change the way he does things. He's just going to continue to feed off of what he's been doing. I mean, when he was in China, he had a pretty good chance to win. Here you have him here. It's just amazing. And the sad part is outside of what he did in China, nothing else, including this win, is going to have anything to do with points towards Ryder Cup, which I think is really sad, because here's a guy that clearly, if you're looking at putting together a Ryder Cup team in 2016, this kind of guy is the guy you want.
Yeah, I agree with you there, but I think it does probably carry a little bit of weight. I wouldn't say a lot, but maybe a little bit of weight. Davis Love was the host for this RSM Classic, and when it comes down to captain's picks, I might take a little longer look at Kevin Kisner. And if we go inside the game of Kevin Kisner to see why he's playing so well, the last 223 consecutive holes without a three-putt. I mean, that's getting the job done on the greens. Let's give a listen to what Kevin Kisner had to say after his first win.
I just wanted to get off to a great start and try to pull away and increase that lead a little bit and make me feel a little more comfortable. And I started making putts on that front nine, and it started going in from everywhere. And that's when you know you got it going on. And it was really nice to play that back nine with that much of a lead and that wind blowing, not making it that easy. And I just played conservative and tried to make a bunch of pars and hit the greens, and I was able to do that.
All right, Alex, Kevin Kisner, certainly a happy individual, and why wouldn't he be?
Well, of course, Bobby, he's going to be excited. I mean, just look at all the success he's had. I know he's building a new house at Aiken, but is actually living in Sea Island for a while as the house is being built with, I think, his in-laws. But I think what's interesting is you come out of this fall series, which is probably one of the more successful ones we've seen, with so many winners being first-time winners. I think it was six of the first seven, with the exception being Graham McDowell last week at Mayakoba. And now you got Kevin Kisner. And you come out of this and you say, okay, who knows what we're going to get in 2016 with all these new guys playing so well. And then you got Graham McDowell who could not find the hole with a compass, a flashlight, a protractor, no matter what. He couldn't find the hole, wins in Mayakoba, plays well enough to finish third this week at the RSM. It's just mind-boggling. And then we're going to have all these guys show up at Kapalua, which makes Kapalua so much more entertaining now than it probably would have been. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, when you think of all those players who are going to be going there for the first time, you and I go there, have gone there for many a year and still get blown away by what awaits us with the golf course, with the scenery, with the hospitality, with everything connected with that championship. And now these players, for the first time, are going to be going there. One other point about Kevin Kisner, you said he's building a new home in Aiken, South Carolina. It's actually going to be on the 11th hole at Palmetto, one of the great golf courses in America, a hidden gem, by the way. Ben Hogan says it had the best par fours of any golf course he ever played, and that's where Kevin Kisner honed his game under the watchful eye of Tom Moore, who was the pro there for a long, long time. And the interesting thing about Palmetto, as you know, Alex, because you've enjoyed the golf course, the clubhouse, a miniature of the clubhouse at Shinnecock, designed by the same designer, Stanford White, only built two clubhouses, one at Shinnecock, one at Palmetto. And Palmetto, if you ever get an opportunity, Grow Room listeners, and you're in the area, it's about 40 minutes from Augusta, Georgia, but it's a great place to go play a round of golf.
You know, Bobby, I want to just tell you, no, since you brought it up, now you're going to see if you really know much about Kevin Kisner. His current house is on what hole?
11th.
No, his current house.
Oh, I don't know.
17.
So he's going from 17 to 11, 11 being a luckier number.
Well, he's moving up at least.
And you know what? It's going to look a little bit like the clubhouse. He tipped me off that he wanted to incorporate some of the look in the of the clubhouse into his new home. Should be quite a place to live.
All right, gambling and golf. Is that what the fantasy sports craze is? It's a hot topic in the world of golf, and it's next. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and GolfBlot.com, heard on TuneIn Radio and internationally on the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Fantasy sports, of course, a couple of the bigger operations, Alex, taking some hits, saying that it's, gambling and internet gambling. And I don't know, the one stat that blew me away, 2% of the people that play fantasy sports are only 2% win any money. The rest contribute to that 2%. What is your stand on fantasy sports?
Well, I mean, in general, I don't think it's gambling. I think that if you take the time and effort and you spend a lot of energy on it, you can do well. I think it's very clear that if you're not a person that does that, your likelihood of winning is very, very slim. But I think in the golf parlance, first of all, Bob, I think that, you need to know what's going on out on tour for you to be able to pick the right team. I think there's no question. You can't just sit there and give somebody you a list and you take a look at it and you start picking names. It doesn't work that way. So I think I don't call it gambling per se. I mean, certainly gambling is chance, meaning that everybody's got the same chance. Everybody, when they sit down, has the same opportunity to win or lose, equal amount. That's how it is. In fantasy sports, it's not like that. The more educated you are, the more time you spend, the better chance you have of winning, and I think that's the difference.
Well, I love the little piece I saw. They asked Joe Namath about fantasy sports, and they said, Joe, is fantasy sports gambling? Joe said, let me ask you two questions. He said, first, does it cost money to enter? And the guy said, yes, it does. He says, can you win money? The guy said, yes, yes, you can. He said, it's gambling. So Joe Namath weighing in on gambling. We'll see what happens. A lot of big sports organizations are going to have their eye on this. The PGA Tour, by the way, has advised its players not to participate in fantasy sports. It's illegal in New York now, maybe illegal in some other states as well. But the PGA Tour says it looks like online gambling, and they don't want their players to participate.
Here's the thing about that. We have to spend a little more time on this for a second. So if I'm in Vegas, it's okay if I gamble. And it's okay if I bet on golf or not bet on golf. Is that correct? I mean, I'm assuming that's correct, right?
Okay. Gambling's legal in Nevada.
All right. So if fantasy sports are legal in Florida, why am I precluded from? Why would the PGA Tour tell me I'm precluded from doing it?
Well, here's the interesting thing, and I'm not a lawyer, and you are. So, in 2006, apparently Congress passed a law which eliminated poker. From being online so that you could no longer play poker online. They said that it was gambling, but they said fantasy sports, there was a little loophole where they said skill was the deciding factor. Now, many argue that skill certainly is the major factor in poker. I mean, if a great player sits down with five average players, that great player will end up winning if they play long enough. Now, of course, the average players could win in a two-hour, four-hour session, whatever. But if they were to play for a week or 2 weeks, it's pretty much guaranteed, if not guaranteed, that the great player would come out on top.
And that's why I think fantasy sports is gambling. I feel that way. And I don't think, you know, the average person doesn't have a chance in participating. And a lot of people spend a lot of money. Unfortunately, a lot of those people spending a lot of that money are people that don't have that money.
That all may be true, but that doesn't answer why, if it's legal for fantasy sports in Florida, why the tour would preclude players from participating.
Because the tour is bigger than Florida would be my answer. All I have to say is if they were playing a tournament in the state of New York and you had your guys playing fantasy sports, they would be participating in something that's illegal at the site of a PGA Tour event. How's
right.
that for? Hey, that almost sounds like a lawyer's answer, and that came right off the top of my head.
Well, a bad lawyer's answer, I would have to say. But the more interesting thing is usually in sports, they don't want players participating in betting on their own sport because they believe that they can somehow change the outcome. Okay?
I agree.
All right. As you know, there's no way you can change the outcome in golf, basically. And if you if it is considered to be gambling per se, which means everybody has about the equal chance, which is basically no chance, then what's the difference? Because you can't control the outcome.
Well, you bring up some valid points, and I would highly recommend that those fantasy sports sites get a hold of Alex Maselli. He may, if the dollars are significant enough, he may go to bat on your behalf. But time now for us to conclude our talk on gambling and go to your favorite segment, Mr. Maselli. Next up on the Grill Room, news and notes.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. 2015 PGA champion Jason Day agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at healthysightforlife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
This earlier in the show, so we'll just gloss over it. European Tour using some extraordinary measures to get its players playing in more of their event. What about the All-Star French Open? This year it's going to be played opposite the WGC Bridgestone Invitational, and I hear there might be some perks coming to anybody that wants to play in that French Open.
Well, Bobby, as you know, the French Open is going to be its 100th year anniversary. And as desperately as European Tour didn't want the French Open up against Bridgestone, it ended up being up against Bridgestone. And this is a big concern for the European Tour. They want to support an event that's been around for 100 years. It's a new sponsor with Alstom. So they really wanted to support that. So they're going to do a couple different things. The first is they're going to increase the purse to 3.5 million euros, which puts it at, well, now with the euro where it is, it might get to $4 million, but basically it's 3.5 is relatively about where it's going to be. It'll increase Ryder Cup points available will be increased because this is part of it is this is the next venue in Europe for the Ryder Cup. And it will also include, it will also count when you play in this event as two events. So as an example, where you're only going to need five now to keep your European Tour card, if you play in France, that's going to be worth two of your five, so you only have to play in three more events. It's a big, huge positive for the French Open, and it'll be interesting to see how many players actually play, European players actually play at Bridgestone. I think there'll be a lot of pressure by the European Tour and the new man, Keith Pelley, to get people to France.
We'll have to keep our eye on that. The Grow Room will keep all of its listeners informed. The LPGA Tour, they had a new event in Wisconsin, and we know, having been to Whistling Straits many times, the home of Herb Kohler, Wisconsin's certainly a golf-loving state, and they get a new event, Alex.
That's right. It's in Green Bay, actually. It is the at Thornberry Creek at Oneida, and it's managed by the Oneida Indian Nation, and it's going to be the Oneida LPGA Classic, $2 million purse for the next 3 years. That's pretty surprising, Bob. It wasn't thinking there was something going to be going on in Green Bay, Wisconsin, but you know, there's a lot of golf going on in Wisconsin now, and this is just another one of those extensions of professional golf showing up in Wisconsin. So it'll be quite interesting to see how it goes. But Green Bay was not the place I was thinking that they'd be bringing an LPGA Tour event.
No surprise, Alex, to the Web.com Tour Player of the Year?
No, Patton Kizzire played great. He's played great, actually, since he's joined the PGA Tour. I don't think there's any question that he's the guy that's going to keep his card in 2016. But no, there was no question on who should have been Player of the Year.
Well, the schedule is slim, but we'll check it out. Why don't we begin with the European Tour? A new race to Dubai gets underway this week as the European Tour heads to South Africa. And for those that have never been there, people love their golf in South Africa, and they have some great golf courses. Going to be the Alfred Dunhill Championship at, what is that, Leopard Creek?
Leopard Creek Country Club, yeah. Big event, actually, the beginning of the South African Tour. You'll start seeing the Charles Schwartzels, the Ernie Els, the Louis Oosthuizens, the Thomas Akins, the Brandon Graces making their way back down home, playing in these events. And they're big events for a couple of reasons. One, obviously, if you're from South Africa, you want to play in your home events, but also the fact that there are world ranking points involved, and that is a big plus as well as we start moving in towards the end of the year. As you know, if you're in the top 50 at the end of the calendar year, you are in all the World Golf Championship and all of the majors without having to qualify further, which is a big, huge plus, a big cherry on the top of that Sunday, Bob, at the end of the year.
All right, on the PGA Tour, nothing on the schedule this week. Up next, the Hero World Challenge, Tiger's event, and that's moving down to the Bahamas. You think that's a good move?
I think it will be. We'll see what happens. Jason Day has decided to pull out, which means because of the elite field, which I think is 18, Bubba Watson is going to take his place. Again, world ranking points involved. One thing we should say maybe about Jason Day, Bob, during halftime at the Ohio State game against Michigan State, Jason Day, who didn't go to Ohio State but was honored as an honorary Buckeye because of living in Columbus, Ohio now.
Well, with the outcome of that game, I doubt Jason Day will be invited back ever to do that again for Ohio State. Web.com Q School underway, finishing up second stage, and the final stage going to take place December 10th through the 13th at PGA National in Palm Beach Gardens, a good place for that. Of course, the final stage of the LPGA qualifying school will start next week in Daytona Beach, home of the LPGA Tour.
You know, and finally, Bobby, the Champions Tour Q School regionals have just finished, and the finals will be held December 1st through 4th at the TPC at Scottsdale on the Champions Course. That's all the Q School, and that's actually all for us, Bob. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grow Room, heard on TuneIn and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by Golf Week and GolfBlot.com. By the way, The Grow Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and, of course, at our website, thegrowroom.com.
A big thank you to all our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, Without those superintendents, your golf course would look nothing like it looks now. Into Ion Loop and thegolf.com, and of course, thegolfweek.com. So for Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bupka, happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for being part of our Grow Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grow Room Golf Show. And once again, all the best and a happy holiday.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.